Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. The big news today is really news that was expected. Al Durham, Devontae Green, and Justin Smith have withdrawn from the NBA draft. I think everybody thought it was just a learning experience, an opportunity, more importantly, to get feedback on a maybe potential professional future down the road. But those three guys are officially back in the fray for next year. Indiana has confirmed that information, or Indiana put that information out earlier this morning on this Wednesday. So again, I don't think anybody had a concern that those three guys would vacate the program, that they would keep their name in the draft. They're not listed on any mock drafts. I don't think there's a path for them, any of them right now, to play the professional game, maybe not even the G League. But they are coming back to Indiana, as we all expected. And you're seeing a lot of announcements like that here today as we near closer and closer to the draft. Players confirming that players that are doing it for feedback, either confirming they'll come back to their respective school, or in some cases, surprising news that certain players are going to give it a go and hire an agent and keep their name in the draft and see what happens. Very likely many of those players will end up in the G League, or they will end up overseas. And that isn't necessarily a bad thing. There's good money to be made. There's good situations there. And college at some point may not be for everybody, and opportunities do exist outside of that. But it's that time of year where you're getting confirmations, yes, they're staying in, or confirmations that they're coming back to school. And that's the story with Al Durham Jr., Devontae Green, and Justin Smith. And you think about those three players here as we enter the month of June in just a couple days. Underclassmen all had moments last season of improvement and of key abilities they bring to the team that you think, okay, you put those three together. You give them an off-season of workout. You give them some feedback from NBA teams on what they need to do, that, you know, not Archie Miller hearing it from someone else as well. And that's got to be a good thing, right? Those all three will have to have key seasons if Indiana is going to turn this thing around and have a chance to make the NCAA tournament in the 2019-2020 season that's coming up here for next year. So glad to see those guys back. They will sure make things a lot more interesting for IU basketball to follow. And again, there never was concern, I think, by any reasonable fan or anyone that has a true voice in this, that they were going anywhere. But just using this as a opportunity for feedback, an opportunity to communicate with agents and NBA personnel, which they could not do had they not declared for the draft, that's something that they couldn't do. So they're back, and that's a good thing, obviously, for IU next year. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day for IU and Southern Indiana sports headlines. Also later in the program, Stu Jackson of thehoosier.com will join us. IU basketball, basketball recruiting, a little IU baseball, and perhaps some other topics, things we'll address with Stu when he's with us. It's been a while since he's been on the program. Stu, a great reporter, a great beat writer for the IU Beat, and glad to have him on with us today on this Wednesday. Also later in the program, Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, he will be with us. High school baseball sectionals are now complete. We've got a couple local teams headed to the regional in the baseball round of things. We've got some other teams in track and field headed to the state meet coming up, some softball teams in the regional as well. And today, as always, over the next few weeks, we'll be releasing some of the Netsby finalists. They've also been in the newspaper, but today a couple sports will recognize the top athletes from there that are up for consideration for the player of the year in that category, in that great reward ceremony that the News and Tribune has put together for high school sports each summer here in the area. And so Craig will talk on that a little bit today as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Of course, today's the big day. I know it's rainy outside, a little dreary outside, but a big IU happening right in our backyard tonight at Huber's, the IU Varsity Club, the IU Foundation, and the IU Coaches Stop at Huber's starts today. I think everything opens up at 5 o'clock, if I remember correctly. I know that we'll be on the air today at 5 o'clock, John Spears and myself from Huber's. Looking forward to that. Always a fun environment to be around. You always learn something. Of course, Archie Miller will be there. Football coach Allen will be there. I'm sure there'll be some other IU coaches there as well. Press conference, normally you get the chance to, at least the media do, to talk with those coaches before the event, and we'll try to pick up some of that as well. That's big because you don't always, at this time of year, especially with Archie Miller, you don't always get to hear from him. There's no coaches show, there's no post-game press conference, there's no pre-game press conference heading into a couple-game stretch. There aren't a lot of availabilities for him in the summer, and that's pretty standard for most schools, but Indiana has always been especially tight, I have felt, with coaches and media availabilities and interviews and things like that. So the IU coaches stop at Huber's is one of maybe two times in the offseason that you get to hear from Archie, and you get to the media get to ask him a boatload of questions about the team for next season. And so I think it'll be really interesting to hear how he answers some of the things he'll be talking about today. And I think what he has to say to the fans, too. He's always, at least in his couple years of being there, his message to the fans that are paying ticket holders to that event, it's been an in-depth talk. It hadn't just been one of those pony shows where you rah-rah and yeah-yeah and all positive stuff. And not that he hammers on anything negative, but you get the sense, at least I do from that event, that the IU coaches know that there are some really diehard fans that in the middle of the summer, the off season, are going to come out and spend money and support to go to an event like that, and they're going to give them a good opportunity to talk and share some information with them. So should be a great night at Huber's. Hopefully you've got tickets. I don't know if there are any late tickets available or not. You might check online for that. But it's been a sold-out event now for a number of years, and of course, with Romeo Langford and Archie Miller being a new coach, there's been a lot of excitement the last couple of years. Be interesting to see what the crowd's like today, what the momentum is like in that room tonight. Nonetheless, we'll be on at 5 o'clock from Huber's, and again, John Spears and I kind of covering the event, talking some IU, talking sports. We hope to have some special guests with us, I know, as well. And if all goes well, we'll try to pick up some comments from the press conference as well of Coach Miller and of Coach Allen as well. So if you're going to the event, tune us in on your way there. If you can't go, we'll try to provide as much coverage as we can if you want to keep it locked with us on the Big X Sports Radio. Our coverage today, special coverage from the IU Coaches Stop at Huber's, is presented by Republic Bank. Republic Bank, it's just easier here. Make sure that you check us out and appreciate them allowing us to have some bonus coverage for you tonight of IU basketball, IU football here on the Big X Sports Radio. Headlines today, in addition to obviously the big night that's forthcoming at Huber's, the Gavitt Games, it's officially the Gavitt Tip-Off Games set for 2019, and this really is no news for IU's schedule, but we can kind of backload into IU's schedule by knowing some of this news. Indiana will not participate in the Gavitt Games this season. It's Villanova at Ohio State, it's Michigan State at Seton Hall, Creighton at Michigan, Purdue at Marquette, Providence at Northwestern, Penn State at Georgetown, Minnesota at Butler, DePaul at Iowa. Obviously, it's a Big East, Big Ten rivalry series named after the late Dave Gavitt, who was founder of the Big East and a member of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as well. Indiana's played in that event. I think it's the fifth season for the Gavitt Games. Indiana has played three of the 5 years that tip-off event has been around. Back in 2015, the Hoosiers played Creighton. 2017, they played Seton Hall. And then, of course, last year, that big Marquette win was part of the Gavitt games as well. So it's really no surprise. There's obviously a rotation of some sort. Not every team from both conferences gets the opportunity to play every single year, but it does make it interesting as far as the schedule goes, because the Gavitt games, if it's on your schedule like the ACC Big Ten Challenge, it's a guaranteed solid matchup, or depending on who you get paired against, a really good matchup. And we know that Indiana, obviously, there has always been concern going back to the Tom Crean years, especially in his final years, that, hey, we got to play some legitimate people. We got to play not bottom feeders in the RPI to help NCAA tournament resumes. So I know a lot of fans disappointed they're not in the Gavitt games, because it is a good matchup. But more importantly than that, the hope is let's make sure Indiana gets a good opponent in place of a Gavitt matchup and doesn't just add some low-level Division I team that may or may not help things down the road as the team gets into conference play and as the team obviously tries to make the NCAA tournament as well. Also, this is, a Big Ten coaching note. Not a big note here, but I was a little surprised. Michigan assistant, who was there under Coach Beilein, Luke Yaklich, and there's been some great stories on him, even back when he was still at Michigan, about what he did. He basically was the defensive coordinator for Michigan basketball, and was just a really well put together guy that started at the high school level and that worked his way up through the ranks and eventually getting the chance to be at a high major school like Michigan. A lot of people think he could be a bright head coach down the road, one of the names in college basketball to really pay attention to. In fact, there was some talk that he might go to Cleveland with Beilein to the NBA and see if their defensive principles and what he's done at Michigan would work at the NBA level. But according to, I think John Rothstein had this, he's going to Texas to work for Shaka Smart. At least that's what's rumored. That's what's been reported right now. So, if you're Juwan Howard, I'm sure he has some big names that he wants to bring in. I saw he's going to retain one of the coaches, it looks like, as a member of the University of Michigan staff. But he would be one of the guys that I would want to retain for defensive purposes if I at all agreed with what his principles were and I was the head coach. But interesting to see him leaving Michigan. He's leaving the Big Ten Conference. He's going to Texas. And so I guess if you're keeping score at home in your IU, he's the kind of guy that you're glad to see leave the conference. Although, again, Juwan Howard, there is no telling who he may bring in, with his vast connections through basketball over the years as well. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Headlines each day are the top news in IU and Southern Indiana sports headlines here in the area. And also a reminder, in addition to some special coverage tonight with John Spears from Huber's for the IU Coaches Tour, we have coming up on Friday, IU Baseball at 2 o'clock. We are going to be able to bring you most, if not all, of the IU baseball games in the regional at the University of Louisville. We'll have those games on the Big X. And, of course, if all goes well and Indiana's victorious over Illinois State and Louisville gets past Illinois-Chicago, we very likely at some point this weekend will see a big Indiana-Louisville matchup with the regional championship, the regional title, on the line, which should be a lot of fun. I think Louisville's the favorite. They've already beat Indiana. It was a close and competitive game at Bloomington that IU kind of let get away. So Louisville obviously beat them once, and now we'll take on the Hoosiers if this matchup happens in the friendly confines of their own ballpark. So but still, nonetheless, should be fun, should be good, and we'll have the broadcast for you starting Friday at 2 o'clock on the Big X. Saturday, we're putting plans together for regional baseball coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. It looks like, if everything we have is accurate, Silver Creek will take on South Dearborn at noon. Lee Kelly will be at that game. I will be at the Jeffersonville-Columbus East game, which will begin at 1 o'clock. Lee will have play-by-play of Silver Creek until 1 o'clock. From that point forward, we'll go back and forth between the Jeff and Silver Creek game. Of course, Silver Creek will end, and we'll finish with full play-by-play of the Jeffersonville game as well. If both teams win, we'll do it that very similar way that night in the championship round of that contest as well. So we'll be in Evansville, both teams in Evansville. Jeff is at Ballsy Field, historic Ballsy Field, and Silver Creek gets the chance to play in a regional hosted by Evansville-Ballsy, but it's at the University of Evansville and their baseball facility, which will be pretty cool. Looking forward to seeing that this weekend as well. But we'll have you covered for high school baseball with the Dragons and the Devils here on the Big X Sports Radio, thanks to a number of sponsors in the community stepping up, helping make sure that we are able to make the trip down there and bring you the pitch-by-pitch coverage from all of our local teams that will compete in Evansville over the weekend. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Stu Jackson of the Hoosiers is my guest. We're going to catch up on a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about the three IU players coming back to the team as expected. We'll talk some Romeo Langford, IU basketball, headlines for next season, Hubers tonight, IU baseball this weekend, maybe even a little basketball recruiting. Trey Galloway was on campus the last couple days for an official visit. I think that official visit ends around midday today. So the key player, one of the key players in the 2020 class for IU on campus in Bloomington the last couple days for the Hoosiers. We'll talk about that and a lot more. Back with Stu Jackson. This is a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Stu Jackson, of the Hoosier.com. He is with us today. We're going to talk IU basketball, even a little IU baseball as well. Stu covers men's basketball, football, and recruiting for the Hoosier.com, which is part of the Rivals in Yahoo Sports Network. Stu, it's been a while. Great to catch up with you. Thanks for carving out a little time for us today on the program.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on. Looking forward to it.
I think our lead story today really is not much of a lead story, but we're in the middle of the off season, and it is what it is. But Al Durham, Justin Smith, Devontae Green returning back to Indiana, that became official this morning. But I really don't feel like anyone ever thought there was doubt that they wouldn't come back to IU.
Yeah, it was one of those things where it really wasn't surprising to see them decide to return. It's a valuable experience for them to be able to go through it and get that feedback and just see what professional evaluators think of their game and their skill set and everything. But yeah, at the end of the day, this was something that, you know, it was more likely than not that they would be coming back to IU and thus giving IU some good experience on the roster this upcoming season.
Stu, I know when it first was announced that in addition to Romeo, these three guys were declaring for the NBA draft. We covered a list of reasons about why in today's college basketball, professional basketball draft world, it makes sense for an underclassman that fans and maybe you've watched all season long and think, well, you know, Al Durham has some great potential here. And at times he had some really great moments. I think you could say that for all three of those guys last year, but they're just not ready. I think even the casual fan can see that for the NBA. But can you kind of review the reasons why, even with that being fairly obvious to all, it still makes sense for guys, not just at Indiana, but at college programs across the country, given the lay of the land right now with the draft process and what they can and can't do if they're declared or not declared, why that makes sense to give it a try, even if you know you're coming back?
Yeah, the biggest reason it makes sense is just the new NCAA rules that were put in place. The Board of Governors adopted rules that allow players to sign with agents who are certified by the NBPA and the NCAA after any season, so long as they request an evaluation from the NBA Undergraduate Advisory Committee. And that's the key piece there. That's where a lot of the feedback comes from. Now, that relationship must be terminated if the player chooses to come back to school as far as, you know, if they choose to sign with an agent. It just gives them a little bit of flexibility. And even if they don't, the fact that they can still declare as an underclassman and return so long as they do so by the NCAA deadline, which is today, it's just a valuable opportunity for them and one that, you'd be foolish not to take advantage of if you're in that position. Now, there is, it's tough to shake a first impression in scouting, no matter what level you play at. But if you can, learn that from getting the chance to talk to scouts, front office executives, you know, whoever, you know, through the pre-draft process, then it creates some added value for you, and you'll feel like you got what you wanted to out of it, even if, you know, you're somebody like Devontae or Al or Justin who has chosen to return to school.
Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com, my guest on this Wednesday edition of The Hoosier Report. Tonight in our neck of the woods at Huber's, the IU Coaches Tour makes a stop, an annual stop, a long-time annual stop at Huber's. We'll hear from Archie Miller and also Coach Allen as well. I mentioned this in our first segment today, but I think one of the valuable pieces of tonight, obviously the IU Varsity Club makes some money. IU fans and alumni have the chance to get together. You get to hear from the coaches directly in the middle of the off season when there's just not a lot going out there right now, which I'm sure is fun for the diehard fans out there. But really, this is one of the few opportunities that someone like you that covers the beat on a daily basis will get to sit down, will get to ask questions, will get to hear from Archie Miller in a press conference-like environment. There just aren't many availabilities in the off season or in the summer, if my memory serves me correctly. In addition to Huber, sometimes there will be a press conference later in the summer. At least that's been the lay of the land since Archie has been in Bloomington. So this is kind of a valuable night, not just for the fans that are in attendance that are going to get to hear what the coaches get to say, but you guys as media typically get to ask some questions before the event starts as well, and kind of get some maybe inside Archie Miller's mind on what this offseason will look like, what some of the goals are, some of the problems are potentially for next season. So I think a lot comes out of tonight, both with the event itself and with content and other things that you'll learn from Archie from some comments that he'll make before the actual show.
Yeah, without question. Typically, local media day for the men's basketball program is in late September. At least that's when it was last year. And so with this being in late May, that's roughly 4 months between, you know, the times we have access to, or the times we will have access, I should say, to Archie when we can ask questions like that in a press availability setting. So there's no question it's extremely valuable for those of us that are on the beat and, you know, trying to get updates. I know I'm going to be curious to see, you know, what the latest is with Jerome Hunter and, you know, how that's going and what progress he's making. There's going to be other big storylines that pop up, I'm sure. You know, Archie will also get asked, too, about, you know, Joey Brunk, a grad transfer from Butler, coming into the fold. So just, being able to ask him about things like that especially, or, you know, what also makes this really valuable from that standpoint.
Talking with Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com, part of the Yahoo Sports Network, joining us today on the program. NBA Finals are set to begin here very soon. I think Thursday night, tomorrow night, is game one, if I remember correctly. And we don't talk a lot of NBA, and it's just odd to talk about Toronto in the NBA Finals. I guess we're so used to an Eastern Conference that's been dominated by LeBron, and of course now that he's elsewhere and the Lakers had some struggles, it's just a different finals outside of the fact that Golden State is back there again. But that said, you wrote about this, you guys mentioned it, I think I saw it on your TheHoosier.com site, a link to another outlet, one of the Toronto papers, that OG Anunoby, who has had a really solid season before a bad injury earlier, is expected maybe to get a chance to return for the finals at some point, which is a tricky situation for a coach when a guy's been out, when your team obviously is playing well. They were able to work through the playoffs to come back trailing to Milwaukee to get to the finals. Do you change things up? Do you enter somebody back in the lineup, even though they had some good moments earlier in the year? But from an IU perspective and from a basketball perspective at this slower time of the year, you think NBA Finals and Toronto, that just doesn't add up. But I guess maybe there could be reason for a little more excitement because there's a chance, it sounds like, according to a couple different reports out there, that OG was working out before one of the Eastern Conference final games on the court and could be getting closer to a return and might see some minutes in some small way potentially in the finals coming up later this week and into next week.
Yeah, and that would something like that would obviously pique the interest of IU fans. I mean, you know, you had Eric Gordon, who was doing really well in the postseason with the Houston Rockets, and you know, of course, as the Raptors kept advancing, or, you know, I should say, Anunoby, his availability or him playing in the playoffs was contingent on the Raptors advancing just because they kept giving him an indefinite timetable for his return. But yeah, I mean, he's been dealing with he had an emergency appendectomy, which, you know, if any listener has dealt with that, you know, that's never fun. And so, but it's kept him out for longer than usual. I mean, that procedure was done around the regular season finale or the end of the regular season. And so, I mean, if he can come back, they've been doing very well without him. But again, if you're able to get him back healthy, he does a lot of great things defensively, as IU fans know. And like I said, it would just be a reason for, you know, a basketball crazy state and fan base, of course, to get their NBA postseason fix as well during its biggest time of the year.
Talking to Stu Jackson of TheHoosier.com. A couple more basketball topics, then I want to get to some IU baseball with us today in our chat. Schedule for next season. We found out yesterday that IU will not be a participant in the Gavitt Games for the 19-20 season, which is not terribly surprising. Indiana's been in it 3 out of the 5 years that early season tip-off series, a challenge between the Big Ten Conference and the Big East Conference, has existed. Maybe your comments on that, and also, those type of games, the Gavitt Games, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, those give you a guaranteed, really solid opponent, a game that can help with your tournament resume early in the season, which I think is what IU fans want to see and got tired of not seeing as often as maybe they wanted to or should have during the Tom Crean's final few seasons. So if Indiana isn't going to be in the Gavitt Games for next season, we know some other pieces of the non-conference schedule, but I think the general hope is let's make sure Indiana gets a very quality and good opponent in place of a Gavitt Games matchup, which they will not be part of next season.
Yeah, without question. And I think that the other piece to this, too, is, if memory serves me right from, the previous chances that, we've all had to talk to Archie Miller, I think he's mentioned that as being a piece or one of the contractual obligations that has maybe prevented them in some cases from being able to participate and some of the other marquee non-conference events or showcases. And so I'll be interested in seeing how they fill that, kind of like you mentioned, with, what kind of opponent they could manage to bring in or how much added flexibility that really will provide. It was a great game against Marquette last season, and, of course, they faced a tremendously talented Seton Hall team not long before that as well. So this has been a series that's provided Indiana with some really great matchups. But at the same time, I think it could also be a blessing in disguise, maybe, in that, they get a break from it, but they also could maybe bring in someone that or participate in an event that they wanted to for a long time, and now they have a chance to fill that spot the way they want to.
Talking to Stu Jackson, TheHoosier.com. Stu, let's flip to some baseball for a moment. IU obviously playing in Louisville this weekend in the regional round of things. And the more I read up on it, the 3-seed Illinois State, which is who Indiana will take on in game 1 Friday at 2:00, which we'll have live here on the Big X Sports Radio, they're not a pushover. Not that you would expect anybody that makes the tournament to be a pushover, but you look at some of their wins this season, they've beat some really good baseball, college baseball programs. So I know everybody, including myself, is always putting it out there that, very likely matchup coming this weekend between 1-seeded Louisville, the host, and 2-seeded IU. And there are some great matchups with like Gabe Bierman from this area that knows those guys and I'm sure was recruited by Louisville as well, that chose to go to IU, where potentially you could see him pitching in that regional this weekend, and he got the chance to do so in the regular season. But some good storylines there if that big game works out. I know everybody wants to see Louisville and Indiana hook up in potentially a regional championship game. But first, Indiana has to go against a really good Illinois State team, and they should not be overlooked.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Illinois State was number 26 in the RPI, 34-24 overall, 14-7 in the Missouri Valley Conference, which produced its fair share of NCAA tournament teams this year, too. They shared the league title with Dallas Baptist, which again, is a team, one of those teams that qualified for the tournament. So, they've definitely earned their spot in the regional and obviously the NCAA tournament as a whole. And they'll be a good challenge for Indiana on Friday afternoon. And then, of course, you also mentioned Louisville. Those two teams had a tremendous game in Bloomington and went into extra innings with, of course, the Cardinals taking that one. So if it were to get to that point, I think it would certainly make for some exciting college baseball and attract a lot of attention in that region, because I'm sure that there are a lot of fans of both schools down there in the Louisville area as well.
Stu, how do you surmise or summarize IU's and their baseball team's trouble here at the Big Ten tournament? Is that cause for concern? I think I'm probably like a lot of fans in the area that, you know, IU baseball, Louisville baseball, we know they're good. We know they most years have a good chance to make the tournament. But you really start to pay attention to them very closely in the final month, final weeks of the regular season. We start to talk about them a little bit more on the program with postseason opportunities looming. And everything that we had been talking about was positive. They go to Michigan, they win that series. They sweep Rutgers to close the regular season and also win the Big Ten Conference regular season championship. Everything was lining up so good for this team, and I think everyone expected them to maybe not win the Big Ten tournament, but to be there, to be in contention for the tournament championship in Omaha, and they really had a bad outing. Is that cause for concern as well heading into the regional this weekend?
I don't think so. It is one thing that has kind of been characteristic of this Indiana baseball team throughout the entire season is just for whatever reason they've been a very polarizing team. I think part of it is, again, just because of I don't know if it's the approach or just, you know, the arms they've faced, and, you know, there's a variety of factors that could go into this, but they've been very feast or famine this year. They led the nation in home runs with 90, and obviously that would be the most in the Big Ten too, but had stretches where, you know, they would show that they were the team that, you know, could produce at that level, and then there were times where, you know, they would strike out quite a bit and, you know, not quite live up to those expectations. So you know, TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha, traditionally, at least, you know, when it comes to the College World Series, not quite the same stage as the Big Ten tournament, but still, you know, a postseason environment, you know, hasn't been a very hitter-friendly park. I was reading an article that was from the Omaha World Herald a year or two ago that said there's been something like, I think, only 50 home runs hit, maybe, in the, you know, 8 years that it's been, or in the 6 years that it had been open and, you know, hosting postseason play, or, you know, been the site for the College World Series. So it's not a hitter friendly park by any means. And when you're again, a polarizing team like Indiana, that can make it difficult to get success, but they have also shown, and Jeff Mercer, the head coach, has shown that, you know, they know how to adapt and know how to change things around and know what needs to be fixed. So, I think they'll move past it, and it was actually kind of funny too, because the Matt Gorski, outfielder, junior outfielder for IU, said that Louisville Stadium actually plays a lot like Bart Kauffman Field, and, you know, if they feel that comfortable at home, playing that comfortable at home, then I imagine they should have the same familiar feeling at Louisville Stadium here this weekend. So, yeah, really, really, really fascinating season for them, and we'll see how it all plays out.
Absolutely. Stu, I want to jump back to basketball. I skipped over one of my topics for you, some recruiting stuff before we wrap up today here on this Wednesday. Trey Galloway of Culver Academies here in Indiana is finishing up today an official visit that began sometime Monday afternoon. He's recognized as a key 2020 player that'll be a senior next season. We've talked about him a lot. Of course, local fans maybe got the first chance to see him when Culver took on Silver Creek in the 3A state championship game and looked there against, you know, against Trey Kaufman and other guys that IU is interested in as well. But how important of a player is he for Archie Miller to keep momentum in the state for the next class? He's had really good success with in-state players, I think, generally in his time there. Romeo Langford headlined the 2018 class with some other in-state guys that are at Indiana. And, of course, 2019 headlined by Trace Jackson Davis, followed by Armand Franklin as well. to keep that momentum, to keep that presence. Not that you have to have a player every class from Indiana, not that your key player in every class has to be built around a foundation of a player from the state of Indiana, but there are a couple guys in 2020 that would make sense to continue some in-state recruiting momentum that could help the Hoosiers. Where do you see Trey Galloway as a fit? Where do you see his relationship with IU right now?
I think he'd be a great fit at Indiana. He does a lot of things that Archie Miller wants in a player. He's very tough defensively, a great leader, coach's son. Those things alone, qualify him as an IU level kid, and a good fit. He's got a great relationship with Indiana. They offered a scholarship back on April 29th when they made an in-home visit. That was both Archie and associate head coach Tom Ostrom who were there. And just as that relates to your question about the importance of recruiting the state and just the keeping that momentum going for Miller and his staff, there's no question. It doesn't matter really. The kid could be a 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. You just got to do your homework on these guys and hopefully they're in a position where they feel like they can develop into a good 3 or 4 year player or something like that. But you need to recruit these kids and sign them and secure commitments and all of that, because you never know when a Romeo Langford is going to come along, a national top five, top six kid ends up being in the state or shows up in the rankings and things like that. So more than just, maintaining relationships with, the high school coaches in the state and being in good standing with them, it's also about showing that, hey, we can recruit kids of all skill levels and all calibers and also just maintaining those connections so that, like I said, when those, national level prospects who maybe are higher rated do come along, you're in a good position and maybe you've recruited or signed some kids that those highly rated guys are very good friends with.
Stu Jackson of the Hoosier.com. Stu, we covered a lot of ground on a lot of different topics. Thanks for the chat today, and I'll look forward to seeing you, it sounds like, later tonight at Huber's.
Absolutely. Looking forward to seeing you as well, Matt. Thanks, as always, for your time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stu Jackson of the Hoosiers.com. A great resource, a guy to check out at thehoosier.com, his daily coverage of all things IU along with the staff there, top-notch. We appreciate his time today on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with a final segment. Craig Pearson, the sports editor for the News and Tribune, is with us. We're going to talk some baseball. We've got local teams having success in the sectional round, two from Clark and Floyd counties, our immediate area, Silver Creek and Jeffersonville, both heading to the regional, their respective regionals in Evansville this weekend, and the Big X will be there as well. We'll have play-by-play coverage from both of those games, Silver Creek at noon our time, Jeffersonville at 1 o'clock our time, and then if either team wins, both team wins, we'll be back on Saturday night for more coverage. But we'll talk about the sectional championship games as well. Also, we'll continue to introduce some of the Netsby finalists in a couple different sports with Craig when he joins us next right here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune is with me. Craig is the sports editor, and a lot to get to, even though school years are wrapping up around corporations throughout our area. High school sports continue. Baseball sectionals on Monday, meaning the regionals will be played this Saturday. Also, track and field, a number of athletes and teams still alive in the state tournament meet coming up very soon. And last night, we had a softball champion. Silver Creek won their third regional title in 4 years, beating South Dearborn. Craig, a busy time. You just haven't found time to get a break here, even though others are preparing for summer vacation. You're headed full steam ahead.
That's right. We got several more weeks here, so we're looking forward to it. Like you said, yeah, Silver Creek winning last night makes this Saturday even busier for us. You know, the Dragons, their counterparts for baseball, and for the Dragons in Evansville for regional ball games. They try to return to state finals, and we got Jeffersonville. We'll also be in Evansville at Bossy Field against their conference rival Columbus East. So that's going to be a very interesting morning and early afternoon there in Evansville.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the baseball sectionals that wrapped up Monday on Memorial Day to begin our chat. Jeffersonville and Bedford, the Red Devils were the favorite. Jeffersonville had a lot of things going its way throughout the week. They had stellar pitching, solid hitting, a good infield and outfield on defense as well. A team that we said this before the sectionals when you were with me a week ago, that we thought maybe Jeffersonville came into things as one of the hotter teams in the area that had really been on a good streak to close the season. And that momentum really carried through in Bedford for two games. One, a big win over New Albany, exciting game all the way down to the wire. And then, of course, the Bedford game where Jeff won 7-2 to win the sectional title.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I think Bedford had a heck of a ball club, really. They won 20 games. But I think I had the sense going in that the winner of the New Albany-Jeff game was going to win the sectional. And that's, you know, we saw that play out with Jeffersonville getting by New Albany and being able to just put together, like you said, an all-around performance in that championship game. They got the job done, from Connor Christopher on the mound to the defense. We had some great plays in the outfield, as we've seen from some of their Drew Taylor and Marquez Jordan in the outfield with their speed, and you know, their infield was steady as well, with Jack Ellis kind of leading the way at third base with some nice play over there on the corner. And the offense has just been phenomenal throughout the spring, and we'll look to see if they can keep that up against a tough Columbus East team that is 22-4 and beat Jeff kind of handily in the regular season at Jeff by 10-run rule. But I think it's just, you know, sometimes teams have those type of nights, so I'm certainly not going to count the Red Devils out on Saturday.
Silver Creek as well, big success in the regional, including a narrow victory in the championship game over rival Providence. The Dragons had some injuries, had some tough moments to close the regular season, but slowly getting some of those guys back. We saw the pitcher, Tyler Wheeler, return for the sectional championship game with a big outing. And it looks like Silver Creek, we know they've got the experience and the talent and some of the things it takes to put a successful tournament run together. And it appears from a distance a bit that they've got some players back and recovering from some injuries, which makes things, I would think, hopeful for their success in the regional coming up this weekend.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, Tyler Wheeler was a phenomenal performance, it sounds like, over there in the against Providence in the championship game. And, you know, yeah, they've got some depth there in the pitching staff as well. And just looking forward to seeing that senior group, see if they can carry that team back to state. And it seems like a determined group of guys, with some guys like Jack Hawkins that we've seen in the you know, have success in basketball, and Josh Landers as well, and you know, just a veteran group, you know, just a couple guys that are going to be playing some high caliber college baseball in the next few years. And you know, I like their chances of getting back to state and getting another shot at them.
Greg Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, my guest, going to be a lot of fun on Saturday. Craig and his team will have coverage leading up to the events on Saturday at the baseball regionals, and of course, full coverage of things at the regionals. Big X will be there as well for back and forth coverage between Jeff and Silver Creek's regional games. Earlier in the day, the semifinals, and if they advance, one or the other or both will be there for the night games, the championship games as well. Craig, the News and Tribune Sports Performance Awards coming up. We always talk about it as we get to this time of year. It's a fun event. We're going to be there with you for that, with some special coverage on the radio. And each week you've kind of been introducing some of the finalists to us in a couple of the different sports, and these have been already mentioned and listed in full detail in the newspaper, but we wanted to give each athlete in all the sports that are going to be recognized at that award ceremony over the summer some recognition. And I think today you're going to tell us about boys cross country and also girls basketball as well, the finalists for both of those categories, where tough decisions will have to be made on who is actually going to be the player of the year, the athlete of the year in both of those categories.
Absolutely, yeah. Real quick with the boys cross country first, we've got Caleb Futter of Christian Academy. Caleb's, just real quick, he's in the state finals and a chance to win a track state title this weekend as well, so that's worth noting. But Luke Heineman of Floyd Central is the other one, and Alex Wallingford of New Albany, both of them outstanding cross-country and track careers. So interesting trio there for sure. And then moving on to the girls basketball, Nan Garcia of Jeffersonville is the reigning player of the year. Had a huge year this year, as everybody remembers. And, Samantha Matthews of Charlestown and Natalie Bozing of Providence had a breakout year. So pretty strong trio of girls basketball players there as well. All three of those ladies are multi-sport kids, but I think basketball is their best sport. And, just a great group of young ladies that we enjoyed covering this winter.
Yep, some great finalists, both in boys cross country and in girls basketball as well. And congratulations and best wishes to Caleb Futter as well as he competes in the state meet coming up. Great career by him as well. Craig, thank you for the chat. We've seen a lot of each other at the ballpark. I know it's likely we'll bump into each other again down in Evansville at some site, some location, following either the Devils or the Dragons this weekend. And I guess when we talk next week, things will be a little slower, and we'll be hoping at that point that we still have some teams alive in the baseball and softball tournaments to keep the 2018-19 high school season still alive for a few more days.
Yeah, that's it would be interesting for sure. If not, we'd be on to just golf, I think. So, like we said, I think those baseball teams have both had great years, and I like both their chances. So it should be a fun weekend.
Absolutely, Craig. Thanks for the chat. Stay out of the rain. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good. See you later.
All right, Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune, the sports editor. You can follow Craig and his team's coverage at newsandtribune.com/sports. Of course, in the sports pages of the Tribune, News and Tribune every day as well. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Don't forget tonight, if you want to hear more IU basketball, IU football talk, John Spears and I have the solution for you. We'll be live at Huber's for the IU Coaches Stop presented by Republic Bank. Our special coverage is tonight, and we are looking forward to being there and talking the very latest here in this offseason about the Hoosiers. I'll talk to you then. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.